Okay, good morning, everybody. It's an honor, a zechus, and a privilege to learn together this morning. I thank everyone for coming. This is our sixth year doing Haggadah Highlights. The last 2 years, because of the pandemic, was together on Zoom with all the Rabbanim of the Vod. We had this year in 2017, 18, and 19, and now we're back this year. I thought about using the same Torah that I shared in 2017 as a litmus test to see if anyone remembers. I didn't remember what I said in 2017, so I figured if I didn't, probably no one else did either. But we'll share some new Torah this morning. Feels like it's still evening. Haggadah Highlights here is difficult because everybody likes different type of Torah, different content related to the Haggadah. There's some that like the more inspiring ideas, some like pshat-based to explain the words, some like more halacha, some like gematria, Q&A, stories. Everyone likes something different, so we'll try to present different types of, different styles of Torah, like a smorgasbord. So you'll find this area over here, and this type of food over there, and your sushi over here, and the bar over here, and the carving station over there. So we'll try throughout the shir to have different types of Torah, which will hopefully resonate with everyone. I used this year to prepare for the shir basically six different Haggadahs. Number one, a couple months ago, Rob Shanzer, nice to see Josh here, gave me a new Haggadah that Rabbi Meir Golvich put out in Tavshin Pei Aleph last year. I don't know if it came out before last Pesach or after, but I found it to be phenomenal. Haggadah Shel Pesach Meir Panim. Really, his Torah is very beautiful. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who people have learned his Aleinu L'Shabbach and What If Sefer. So he has a Haggadah which I bought this year called Nifla Osecha Asicha, which I found to be excellent. Last Shabbos, Rav Judah Michelle was here and he stayed at our house. And as a house gift, he gave me something much better than candy or flowers, though my wife maybe would argue on that one. A new Haggadah of Rav Kluger. Rav Kluger is a popular Hasidic Mashbia. He's not a Rebbe in Beit Shemesh. Called Bini B'chori Yisrael, which was quite fascinating. Rav Beryl Weisbrod was the Mashkiach in Ner Yisrael, put out a Haggadah which came out a couple weeks ago with his Torah, the Torah of his father-in-law, which was Rav Yaakov Weinberg, who was the previous Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael, and his father-in-law, who was Rav Ruderman, who was the Rosh Hashiva before him in Ner Yisrael. And then I used Rav Biederman. Now Rav Melech Biederman, who many have see his videos and his Torah, has a Haggadah, which I do not have, but I went back to a couple of years' worth of his weekly sheets. He has these gilyon called Be'er HaParsha, which are excellent, which anyone could sign up and get them. They have them in Hebrew and English, Russian, Spanish, maybe French also. And I went back to a couple of years' worth, and I found some incredible content there. So using those, I come to you and try to lay out some, hopefully, beautiful Divrei Torah. The first thing I want to discuss is not on the Haggadah itself, but is an interesting anecdote I saw just the other day, and I shared after YFM yesterday, from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and I think that could help frame some of the Seder for us. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt that it was wrong the way the children sing the Manish Tana. So the Manish Tana are questions. Manish Tana Elias Zem, and the song that they sing, and everyone is singing the same song, is more of like an upbeat, happy, like marching tune, and it's not presented as a question. The kids, children should really be asking questions, and the tune is not in question form. So his students heard him say this, and they said, but at your Seder, your kids sing that same tune. So why don't you tell them not to? So Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, you're right, but this is what they learn in school, and I don't want to take away. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to ruin what they're learning in school. And I thought that to be, found that to be really, really moving. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was the Gadol Hador, he could have called his children's school and be like, hey, we're not learning the Manish Tana like that anymore. I'm the Gadol Hador. I'm Rav Shlomo Zalman. Teach it to them in a different way. He didn't. And when his children learned it in a certain way, even though he was fundamentally opposed to it, he allowed them and even encouraged them to sing it in that tune. And I think that's important because so many people have a different understanding or a way they want the Seder to run. And there are other people who are going to be at the Seder who might have a different experience. Our children might learn in school a different way. Some are coming to the Seder with cute gematrias, and we might not like that. We might think the point of the Seder is not for a little vortluck. It's to explain the story. But the kids have that. And Pesach is not a time to stand on our shittos. It's not a time to hold firm to what we believe in when we have other people at the Seder. We want the experience to be for everyone. This goes very well with something that I saw in the Haggadah of Rav Ruderman. Rav Ruderman had the privilege for a few years in Europe to have the Seder with the Altar of Slobodka. The Altar of Slobodka, the original Rav Nesson Tzvi Finkel, was the Mashgiach of the Slobodka Yeshiva, perhaps the greatest Torah educator that we know. Rav Ruderman said the Seder was in between an hour and a half and 2 hours long, from start to finish. Not bad. Not bad. An hour and a half to 2 hours. Imagine this kid's coming to school and, you know, how long was your Seder? You know? Hour and a half, 2 hours. And Rav Ruderman asked the Altar of Slobodka, So why is your Seder so short? So he said, my wife is exhausted. She spent all week cleaning and cooking, and she wants to be up for the Seder. To have a long Seder, it wouldn't be sensitive to her. He said, "V'chol mar b'lasapa ritzias mitzrayim erizem meshubach." So Rav Altar Slobodka said, "You do it after the Seder. We'll finish the Seder, and then we'll stay up and we'll talk about Pesach as long as you want." And that's also just a hakdama, an introduction, is the sensitivity at the Seder to everyone who's there, children, adults, and grandparents as well. Rav Pam was very strong in telling his students they have to be sensitive to everyone at the Seder. He said some people are so careful about getting to Afikomen by Chatzos, which is a halachic consideration for sure, and they'll get to Shulchan Aruch and they'll zip through Shulchan Aruch because they want to get to Afikomen until Chatzos. He said the woman prepared so much food, they cooked, and not only maybe are they not going to have a chance to eat and enjoy, you're not going to enjoy the food that they made, so don't worry about chatzos. It's a halachic issue, chatzos afikomen. Don't worry about chatzos. Enjoy the meal. Show appreciation to those who made the food and spent so much time, and enjoy each other's company, which is also important on Pesach night. So those are 2 points of introduction in terms of framing what the mindset and the sensitivity to everyone who's there. So I want to start with this year. Pesach is on Friday night. So do we sing Shalom Aleichem or do we not sing Shalom Aleichem? No. Anyone here sing Shalom Aleichem? Yeah. You do. You do. Amazing. So I want to understand why we do or why many don't. Because I think it's on us to explain why we don't rather than why we do. So just to go back, we all ask the question, everyone asks the question. In the beginning of Halach Na'anya, we invite the guests in. Anyone who wants to come in, and everyone asks, why are we inviting them in now? We should invite them in the end of davening, Friday, or really a week before. But at the very least, after davening in shul Friday night, stand in the back of the shul or make an announcement. Anyone who needs a meal, come over to this house, to that. Why are we waiting? If the doors are closed, we're already in the house, why are we inviting them in? The Chassam Sofer has a very beautiful explanation. He says that Seder night, each of our homes turns into the Beis HaMikdash. Each house becomes a Beis HaMikdash on Seder night. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash, Hamuat Machzik Kesamaruba, it didn't matter the size of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a nes, a miracle, and it was able to fit everyone who came, even though there wasn't the space for it. Hamuat, the small space, Machzik Kesamaruba, could hold the many. So he says, yeah, once you're in the house, and it's the Seder, and your house becomes the Beis HaMikdash, now we have so much room, anyone can come in. But beforehand, the house isn't the Mikdash yet, so now our house is the Beis HaMikdash. That this idea that the house is the Beis HaMikdash goes very well with, according to the Maharil, is one of the Rishonim, why we wear a kittel. We wear a kittel because we're like the Kohen Gadol, who's wearing white. We are the Kohen Gadol in Lefnai, Lefnim, doing the Avodah on the Beis HaMikdash on Seder night. Rav Chaim Palachi had a minog. I haven't seen anyone who does this, but people would whitewash their homes before Pesach. Why would they whitewash their homes before Pesach? Because just like in the Beis HaMikdash, they whitewashed it from the blackened walls, from the burning of the Ketores. So too, our house on Saturday night is going to be a mini Beis HaMikdash. People would whitewash their walls. What does this have to do with Shalom Aleichem? So do we say Shalom Aleichem or not? So many say that we do. There is a sefer called the Mata Ephraim, which records many minhagim throughout the year. And the Mata Ephraim says that on Rosh Hashanah, which falls out on Shabbos, you should sing Shalom Aleichem, a less joyous tune. There's the seriousness of Rosh Hashanah. So say Shalom Aleichem on Rosh Hashanah, but not with the same happy attitude. The Siddur Yaivetz and the Kaf HaChaim sound like, not just on Rosh Hashanah, but all Yom Tovim, when Shabbos coincides with Yom Tov, to say Shalom Aleichem. I believe most have the custom not that way. On the bottom of that Sefer Mata Ephraim, there's a parish called the Elef HaMagen, and he says the minhag is not to recite Shalom Aleichem on Yom Tov. And the question is, why not? So at least on Pesach, I saw two explanations. One is, we want to start right away. We have children. We want to keep the children awake. The same reason why we give out candy. The Gemara says we give out nuts. We do all these things to keep the children awake. We move to the Seder. So it takes a lot of time. So skip out on Shalom Aleichem. The first Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalom of Bells, says differently. What do we say in this in the Haggadah? Ani v'lo malach. God says, me, not the angels. Shalom Aleichem, we're talking to the angels. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos says that the angels come to our house on Friday night, and if they see the table set and the beds are made and the candles are lit, they say it should be this way next Shabbos. So we're saying Shalom Aleichem to the angels. Barachem l'shalom, come in. On Pesach night, Ani v'lo malach, this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's me, no angels, so we don't need to say Shalom Aleichem. I saw in Rav Biederman has something beautiful based on that Chassam Sofer we started with. It's the base. Our house is the Beis HaMikdash. Our house is the Beis HaMikdash. We're wearing a kittah. We're like the Kohen Gadol. The pasuk says about the Beis HaMikdash, V'chol Adam lo yihyeh b'ohel moed. No person can be in the ohel moed with the Kohen Gadol when he's doing the Avodah. V'chol Adam. There's a Gemara in Yerushalmi that says, what's V'chol Adam? Just say Adam, people. What's V'chol Adam? Every person. V'chol is always a ribui. It's coming to add someone. So the Gemara says, even malachim. Even the malachim are not in the Beis HaMikdash. The malachim are always accompanying us. Ki malachav yitzav elach, l'shmarcha b'chol derechecha. We always have two angels accompanying us. The angels are not in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah. V'chol Adam, and we know that the angels have the face of man. U'dumus p'neyem p'ney Adam. Their face had the image, the look of a person. So there's no angels in the Beis HaMikdash. So says Rav Biederman, if our homes become a Beis HaMikdash on Pesach night, there are no angels there. Because no angels in the Beis HaMikdash. So you can't say Shalom Aleichem. There's no one to say Shalom Aleichem to. Pesach night, the angels do not come into our house. I thought it was also a beautiful perspective how our homes have the ability to be transformed into a Beis HaMikdash with halachic ramifications, the kittel and the no Shalom Aleichem. That explains that custom to not say Shalom Aleichem. Rav Biederman quotes that the minhag in Bells, I don't have any Bells or friends to ask, is before Manish Tana, everyone at the table starts clapping. Why do they clap? Because the Kohen Gadol wears the garment that has the pamonim, the bells. The nishma, the pasuk says, has to be heard. So since the Kohen Gadol is making noise as he's going into the Beis HaMikdash, as he's going to the Avodah, they would clap. They can't wear bells, it's yontif. So they would clap to replicate, to show, to connote this idea of our homes being the Beis HaMikdash, and we're about to do the Avodah. I thought that was a very interesting idea. Now there are those who do say Shalom Aleichem. So if that is your minhag, great. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would sing Shalom Aleichem when Pesach fell on the Seder. So certainly, yesh v'yesh, there are different minhagim, but that could be an explanation for why we do not sing Shalom Aleichem. Those who say Shalom Aleichem, do you bench your children or grandchildren at the Seder? You don't remember. You do?
Yes.
Those, so you don't say Shalom Aleichem, but you bench children. Why?
Because it's Yontif.
So on a regular Yontif you do, or just Pesach?
Every
yontif that falls down Shabbos, you do. Interesting. So my minhag always was not to. I don't say Shalom Aleichem. And I always just assumed, I never asked my father why that's our minhag, but I just assumed that benching children go together with Shalom Aleichem. Rav Goldwicht, that's what I assumed. It could be my assumption was wrong. Rav Goldwicht has in his Haggadah a beautiful reason why, even if you don't sing Shalom Aleichem, to bench the children on Pesach night. And we're going to come back to this notion a few times. In Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, they tell us that when Yaakov Avinu got the brachos from Yitzchak, was Seder night. It was Pesach night. And the two Gidi Izim that he had was Zecher LeKorban and Zecher LeKorban Chagiga. Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga. It was Seder night. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that night, Otros Tilalim Yivtachim B'Zeaz Alayla. The storehouses of bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu are open on Seder night. That was the night that Yaakov Avinu got the brachos from Yitzchak. So it says Rav Goldwicht, if that's true, what a night to bench our children. It's a night where, for forever, the major brachos that were given from Yitzchak to Yaakov was on this night. So what a night to give our children brachos, which I thought was interesting. I have to ask my father Rishus if I could change our minhag and give my children brachos this year.
Is it just Friday night? Can't you bench your kids on Yom Tov?
Yeah, you could. My minhag was not. My minhag was only on Shabbos. This year it's Yom Tov and Shabbos. That's why it's somewhat different.
But this year, if you don't bench on Friday night, don't then have to ask the question, why are we doing something different?
That's true. But if I do it, they'll ask why you're doing something different than last year. So maybe they can't hear it out. let's move along. We all know we have an egg at the Seder. And the classic understanding as to why we have an egg is because the first night of Pesach, oh, this is what the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, the first night of Pesach always falls out on the night of Tisha B'Av. So as a Zecher to the Avelos, we have an egg. And there are many other reasons given. We've shared them in previous years. I saw a new reason, a reason I hadn't seen before, in Rav Goldwicht's Haggadah as well. Rav Goldwicht explains that Hashem made it that every animal, every creature, has its unique way, its characteristic. He says when an animal brings a baby, a chick, into the world, it cares for it, it protects it, it shields it, it will do anything for it. Normally, if you have a bird, and anytime anything comes near the bird senses something coming close, it flies away. Except when it's hovering over the egg, over the chick. Then it's not going to move. It's doing what it can to protect. It's much easier to snatch a bird away when it's by its egg. Why is that? Because the mother sees the potential of life. This egg is going to produce life with a tremendous potential, and I have to do whatever I can to protect it. So says Rav Goldwicht that on Pesach we recognize our potential. The egg represents the future, the ability to live. That egg, what's in that egg, could become anything. So too, Pesach night, we think about our potential, the potential of our family, the potential of Klal Yisrael, so we have that egg to remind us of that idea. Also, I thought that was very, very interesting. Moving along, we have the Simanim. How many Simanim do we have? It's 15. Motzi Matzah are two separate Simanim. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. I'm not going to sing it now. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Magid, Rachza, Motzi. Matzah, Mara, Korach, Shulchan Aruch, Tzafun, Barach, Halal, Nirsa. There are 15 Simanim, which we sing, and we make a big deal. There's actually a discussion in the Rishonim what the exact Simanim are. There have to be 15, because some want to add some and take away. There's 15 Simanim. Rav Kluger, this Rebbe, this Mashpia in Eretz Yisrael, points out that 15 is Yud and Hey. Yud is 10, and Hey is 5. We know that there's a Gemara in Maseches Sota that Rabbi Kiva said, Ish v'isha zachu shechina b'neihem lo zachu esho chlasan. I'm sure you've heard this Gemara at many Ufrufs or Sheva Brachos. Ish v'isha, man and woman, when they're zocha to have a beautiful life in Shalom Bayis, shechina b'neihem, God's presence is with them. And if not, a fire consumes them. Why? Because Ish v'Isha, the two letters that are found in both words are Aleph and Shin, Ish. The two letters that are in Ish and Isha, which are not in the other, are Yud and Hey, Ka, Hashem's name. So Ish v'Isha, when there's Zocha, the Shechina is there. Says Rav Kluger that Pesach night is our wedding, is our Nisuin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or our Erisin. It's the coming together of us and Klal Yisrael. The Nisuin is Har Sinai, is Matan Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up the mountain. It made it like a chuppah, but Pesach is when we become HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Esh Eschayel. And that's the Yud and the Hey, representing the Hashem, the Shechina that comes between man and woman. And we have this a lot in the Seder. The Ma'aril writes that just like Sheva Brachos, we have seven brachos because a husband and wife can't be together until there's kalab lo bracha, asur lo baila. It needs to be sheva brachos. So the Maharil is one of the Rishonim says that we have seven brachos at the Seder before we eat matzah. What are the seven brachos? And Kiddush we say three brachos. Bor per gefen, mekadosh yisrael v'zmanim, and shachyanu. We have the bor per adama and karpas. We have the second cup. The end of Magid is five. And then we have the two brachos on matzah. Hamotzi lachem in aretz and al matzah, al achilas matzah. So the sheva brachos matzah is like the start of this marriage. So we reference that with the 15 simanim, ish v'isha shechina zocha shechina b'neiem, and then we have our sheva brachos before we could eat matzah, which is very interesting. Also, there's a discussion why the matzah is round, and I was thinking the same idea: the round, circle, ring, also to connote this idea of our wedding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw a beautiful insight on Karpas this year, which I want to share. So much of Pesach is about our speech, right? Pesach, the mouth that speaks. It's about rectifying and fixing our Koach HaDibur, our speech. So Rabbi Biderman quotes Rav Yochanan Mirach Mastrivska, who says that Karpas stands for Klal Rishon Peh Sagur. Klal Rishon Peh Sagar. The first rule is keep your mouth closed. Keep your mouth closed. He says that we start with Kadesh Urchatz. We want to have Kedusha. We want to have Tahara. We want to have Kadesh and Urchatz. What do you have to do? You have to have Karpas. Klal Rishon Peh Sagar. We have to keep our mouth closed. Sometimes we have to speak, right? So what's after Karpas? Yachatz and Magid. If you have to Magid, if you have to speak, you know what you should do? Yachatz. Only speak half of what's on your mind. If you want to have Kadesh and Urchatz, go with Karpas. But if not, at least Yachatz, the Magid, split the Magid. This reminds me, I once read that someone came to Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he says, I don't understand. Klal Yisrael is in such a good place. There's more Torah being learned than ever before. There's more tzedakah being given than ever before. The chesed that's happening in Klal Yisrael is through the roof, but we have so many problems. Why is there so much fighting? Why do you have so many problems? If there's so much Torah and chesed and tzedakah, he said, I'll tell you why. We say in davening, we just said it a few minutes ago, kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim, kulam giborim, everyone's beloved, everyone is chosen, everyone's great. What's the problem? L'chulam, poschenes pihem. Everyone opens up their mouth and doesn't know how to be quiet. So Kadesh Urchatz, Karpas, Klal Rishon Peh Sagar. He quotes the Spinka Rebbe, the Chakal Yaakov, who said that one time he said that one time he broke down crying during Karpas. He said that at Karpas we make the bracha bor pri adama. And what do we have in mind? We have in mind the maror. The Karpas potters us from the bracha on maror. He started crying because he says if the Karpas can break or can potter, can exempt you from maror, it exempts you from all bitterness in the world. If we could just learn to have Karpas, Klal Rishon Pesagar, we will stop, we will potter, we will exempt, we will get out of the maror, the bitterness. And he says maror is the same gematria as maves, 446. If we want to hold back from maves and maror, we have to go ahead and fix our Karpas, our Klal Rishon Pesagar, which I thought was an interesting notion. He also, Zilberstein, quotes someone, a Rebbe, who I had never heard of, Mishkalitz, I'm not sure who that is. He says the word karpas comes from two words, kar and pas. Pas with a tough in Hebrew. Karpas, or Aramaic. Kar is a pillow, and pas is bread. So karpas is us giving. It's to remind us of the giving of a pillow, of a place for a pauper to sleep, and bread, shelter and food is our tztaka. He says if you want to potter the maror in life, we have to go ahead and do more karpas, give out more tztaka, chesed, think of other people, and that can exempt us from our maror. The next insight, I don't know what to do with. This kept me up a little bit. I don't expect anyone to know this. The entire Haggadah, from Halach Ma'aniyah until Gal Yisrael, so Magid, and this was written over 100 years ago, before search engines in Bar Ilan. In all Magid, there's 1,820 words. Now, I didn't check, but I'm going to trust him on this one. 1,820 words. Now, why is that significant? Because in the entire Torah, the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vavke, appears 1,820 times. The same exact number of words in all Magid is the same number of times the Shem Havaya appears. And what to do with that? I'm not sure. The amount of words Yaakov Avinu, Rachel Leah speak in the Torah, the words recorded in the Torah, is 1,820. The same number. 1,820 words is Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah speaking the Torah, and the total number of words spoken by all the Shvatim, the Yud Beis Shvatim, in Sefer Bereishis is 1,820 words. I saw this quote in the Sefer Otzer Plaos HaTorah. He didn't do anything with it. Is it just a nice statistic? Is there something more to that? I don't know. Some people are very into the words, the numbers, the gematrias. It doesn't do a lot. It doesn't move me. If someone had a good shot, then certainly. But I wanted to throw that out. I saw a beautiful, beautiful insight on Haseba reclining. We say in the Manash Tana, Kulanu Misubin, we're all going to be reclining. There's a Medrash in the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach. The Pasuk says, Vayasev Elokeim Esa'am Derech HaMidbar Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out in a roundabout way. Vayasev, Sav is to turn around the right way. But it also is the same word as Haseba, reclining. The Medrash says that Mikan, from here, from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in a roundabout way, Afilu Anisha B'Yisrael Lo Yochal Ad SheYasev. Every person, it's a mission in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, every person, even a pauper, should be reclining. And everyone asks, what's the connection, right? Ma Kesher, between a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Egypt in a roundabout way and our reclining? What? It's nice, it's a word, Ayasev, it's the same word, but how do you learn from that every person, even an Ani, should recline? So Reb Zadel Epstein, the great Mashkiach in the Torah Or Yeshiva, he says, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have to take us out in a roundabout way? Kadosh Baruch Hu could have taken us straight out and had our enemies done this and Klal Yisrael feel this. Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that sometimes you think, not sometimes, all the time, we think we know better. We have a script of how life should work and our lives should work. And sometimes, like, God, why are you going off script? That's not the way it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to get married here and have kids here and make this amount of money and this should be good. Well, God, Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, no. My way is the right way. The roundabout way is the right way. You think I should be going this way, that way, take this direction, that. Why are you smarter than Waze? Kadosh Baruch Hu is running life the way he's supposed to run life. An Ani, a poor person, can come to the Seder, and anyone, for that matter, is struggling. What? I'm going to recline. Why? I should recline? My life is terrible. My life is horrible. I don't have anything. If I was only an Ani, I would have this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. It's exactly the way, it's supposed to be. With our difficulties, with our challenges, with our struggles, we can still recline like a free, doesn't mean we shouldn't try to make things better, but we can still recline like a free person with our difficulties, because that's exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be, and we learn that from the way he took us out of Mitzrayim. A beautiful insight on Heseba. This is probably my favorite one of the night. And I was so worried, because when Rabbi Luman told me what he was talking about at the Seder, at the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, I thought he was taking this one, and it was gonna hurt today. Shira Baruch Hashem, he went in a different direction. We say, everyone who speaks and tells the story longer is praiseworthy. And then we have this story, Maisab Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shai Mesubim b'Bnei Brak. They were together in B'nai Brak. All night they were telling the story. And there's a lot to say, and there's a lot that's been said on this passage. The simple explanation, the question is, what's this doing here? You had rabbis that told the story on Pesach night. That's nice. This is the only time it's happened in history. Every year, forever, people, the chiddush is that they were together. Maybe their whole families, everyone got together. But why is this in the Haggadah? Great, shkoyach. Rabbis got together and told the Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's such a chiddush? So the classic explanation is that there was a compelling reason why all five did not need to tell the story. Why? Well, we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Tarfon were Kohanim. The Kohanim didn't work in Mitzrayim. They didn't have my Avdus L'Cheros. So maybe they don't have to tell the story. They didn't suffer. Right? Certain communities, people, countries that weren't affected by the Holocaust, I don't think their Yom HaShoah program is the same. It's not the same. Maybe I'm wrong. The Syrian Jews have the same Yom HaShoah type of program. Their grandparents, their great-grandparents didn't suffer what ours did. So there's a reason why maybe the Kohanim don't need to tell the story. There's no Me'adus L'Cheres, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar Nazariah, and Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Kohanim. Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi. Levium also didn't have to work. Rabbi Akiva was the son of a Ger. They weren't in Mitzrayim. So maybe one would argue that they don't need to tell the story. So no, even these five Tanaim, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Tarfon, they still told the story. Imo Anochi B'Tzara, the pain, where one people, Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh B'Zeh, we feel each other's pain, so they still told the story. That's the classic explanation. The Chidah says, V'chol is Kohanim Levim V'Gerim, not in that order, Kol, Kohanim Levim V'Gerim, and that's the idea over here. That's the, I think, the classic explanation. The Mefarshim, though, are very much bothered by a question. Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Acher Rabbi Eliezer Lud. Achar Rabbi Akiva L'Bnei Brak. Eliezer lived in Lud. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Rabbi Eliezer would praise lazy people on Yom Tov. Mishabeach ani es atzlanim. He would praise the lazy people on Yom Tov. Why? Why was he praising lazy people? Because Rabbi Eliezer said, you're not going to leave your house on Yom Tov. You don't travel. You don't go to the Rebbe. You don't go to your rabbis. You stay home and be with your family on Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer says, Usser, Lotzeis mi beiso beregel. You can't leave your house on Yom Tov. So Mefarshim asks, I don't understand. Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud. Rabbi Eliezer says, you're not going to leave your house for Yom Tov. So what was he doing in Bnei Brak? It's a contradiction in Rabbi Eliezer himself. This is what Mefarshim ask, and they offer some creative explanations. The Barbanel, who's a Rishon, says that Bnei Brak was not referring to a city over here. Bunny are cushions or blankets. Barak, as Rabbi Lubman said last night, shiny, bright, light. They were mesubin, not in the city of Bnei Brak. They were mesubin reclining on these shiny, bright, precious blankets and cushions. Bar Menachem's a Rishon, but it doesn't sound like that's the pshat. It should have said Al B'nai Barak, not Bib B'nai Barak, and B'nai Barak is referring to the city. But you see, this question was so strong that it forced him to say an explanation that doesn't seem to fit so well in pshat. The Sfas Emes says that it wasn't Pesach night. Who says this is Pesach night? It's the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every night. They were so inspired that on a random night, there's no problem for Rabbi Eliezer being in Lud. It was, Tesvav Iyar, a month after Pesach. So they got together and they were, that's why it's here, that's why it's so inspiring. Pesach night, not such a chiddush that rabbis got together and told the story. But not on Pesach, wow. Also a little bit difficult. What's it doing in the Haggadah? The Haggadah is about Pesach. It's about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Margulis Hayam, who's a late Achron, I believe lived in the 1800s, he's a Sefer on Sanhedrin and other Masechtas, he quotes, and only someone who knows Kol HaTorah Kula could say this, he says that there's a Mishnah in Masechas Meiser Sheni that says that one year, when Gamliel and the Zekanim were coming from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael on Erev Pesach. So there, he says, so maybe their ship docked, their boat arrived, they were worried whether they'd get back to Lud in time for Yontif, so the closest place to the port was B'nai Barak, so that's why they ended up in B'nai Barak on Yontif. Maybe. Rav Goldwicht has an amazing insight. I was mamish dancing when I saw this, and then I saw that the Aruch HaShulchan, who has a Haggadah called Leil Shimurim, says the same thing. Rav Goldwicht doesn't quote it, you probably didn't see it. I saw the Aruch HaShulchan quote elsewhere. What do we know about Rabbi Akiva? We know a lot about Rabbi Akiva. But there is a well-known Gemara at the very end of Makos. I'm sure you've heard this Gemara around Tisha B'Av time, or if you've been in a Siyum in Makos. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva was walking right after the Churban HaBayis with, and listen to the names, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yeshua. So two of the people who are with him at the Seder, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Yeshua, they were walking together by the Churban HaBayis. And the Gemara tells us that Kevan Shigiyu Laharat Sofim Karu B'gdem Etor Kriya. This, what we do, and we go to the cult, that was the first time they saw the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash Etor Kriya. Kevan Shigiyu Laharat Bayis, the Gemara says, when they got to Har HaBayis, Ru'u Shu'al Shayatsmi Beis Kachay Kadashim. They saw a fox run out of the Kodesh HaKadashim. Hischilu Hein Bochin. They started to cry. Rabbi Akiva Mitzachik. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amar Lo, Mipnei Ma'ata Mitzachik. Why are you laughing? You're at the Churban HaBayis. Amar Lo, Mipnei Ata Bochim. Why are you crying? They said, why are we crying? The Torah says, Hazar HaKariv Yumas. If a non-Kohen goes near the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he shall die. V'achshav shu'alim halchubo v'lo nivkeh. And now there's a fox in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're not going to cry? So Rabbi Akiva said, I'll tell you why I'm crying. Because there was a nevuah of Uriah. The nevuah of Uriah says that Tzion Sada Techaresh, the Beis HaMikdash will be plowed over. And there's also a nevuah of Zechariah, of Od Yeshu, Zekenim, Zekenos, Berchovos Yerushalayim. One day, the elderly, the children will be sitting, they'll be playing on the streets of Yerushalayim. So he says, until the nevuah of Uriah, of the destruction, was fulfilled, I was worried that the nevuah of Zechariah wouldn't be fulfilled. But now that I saw that, so to speak, Akash Bar, the nevuah was correct, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, that means there's going to be a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The nevuah of Od Yeshu, Zekenim, Zekenos, Bechovos, Yerushalayim will certainly be fulfilled as well. And that's why I'm laughing, I'm smiling. And they said to Rabbi Akiva, Amar Lo, Akiva, Nichamtanu, Akiva, Nichamtanu, you've comforted us. Says Rav Goldwicht, this happened the first Pesach after Churban HaBayis. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. How are we going to sit at a Seder and enjoy? We're going to recline, we're going to drink Daud Kosos and celebrate. We're going to sing Hallel and talk about Dayenu. We're going to rejoice at the Seder, pretend like we said earlier, he doesn't say this, but pretend like we're in the Beis HaMikdash, we're in a Kippah like we're the Kohen Gadol. How could it be? We're suffering. Think about the suffering we have today and what's on our mind. They lost the Beis HaMikdash. How can we sit at a Seder? So who was the only person that could help them through that? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva understood perspective. Rabbi Akiva understood that in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain, in the midst of destruction, we could think of something brighter and a better future. So Rabbi Eliezer said, I need to be Rabbi Akiva. There's no one else who could frame this year's Seder and put it in the right perspective than Rabbi Akiva. A beautiful, beautiful insight. And I think it's something that we could take certainly this year. There's all tens of thousands of Achinu B'nai Yisrael who forget about Haseba. They don't have a home. They don't have a house. They don't have a table. They don't have matzah. It's hard. It's hard to celebrate with all the struggle and the pain that's out there. Perspective. Rabbi Akiva taught us that perspective. I've shared before an amazing insight, not about the Seder, from Rabbi Elia Meir Bloch. We know that on Shvi Shal Pesach, the Gemara tells us, let me go back a step. The angels, we know, wanted to sing Shira when the Jews crossed the Yamsuf. Bikshu Malachi Asharis Lomar Shira. They wanted to sing Shira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them not to. Why? Masa Yadai Tovim Bayam Atem Amram Shira. The Mitzrim, as terrible as they were, they're Tzelem Elokim, they're God's creations. So they're drowning, and you're going to sing Shira? This is why we don't say, one of the reasons why we don't say Halal Shalim after the first days of Pesach. So ask the Meir Bloch, but Kal Yisrael sang. That's Az Yashir. So why were the angels not allowed to sing, but Kal Yisrael sang? So Rav Elia Meir Bloch, who was Rosh Shiva of Tel Yeshiva here in Cleveland, he lived 1894 to 1954, he says that we know that angels can only do one shlichus at a time. We know this from Avram Avinu, different angel had to tell Avram Avinu the news and destroy stone. Angel has a one-track mind. An angel can only have one perspective, one attitude, one feeling at one time. We, people, we have the ability to have nuance. We're complex. We could have conflicting emotions even at the same time. He says that Yirmiyah said Echa b'nevuah. We know a Navi can only give nevuah or only have nevuah when he's in a state of simcha. Right? He needs to be sure of a simcha. Yet, what do we say in Echa? Bacho simcha halayla. He said it with tears. I don't understand. You can only have nevuah if you're b'simcha. Yet, he was having nevuah while he was crying. He says, yeah, it's not a stira. It's not a contradiction. We are imbued with a unique ability to have conflicting emotions. We could be full of pain and at the same time have simcha. We could cry and laugh at the same time. I had seen this idea from Rav Elia Meir Bloch a few times, quoted in a few places. A few years ago, Zalman Bussell, the Rosh Yeshiva of RJJ, who was cousins, his grandmother was a cousin of Rav Elia Meir Bloch, said to the Bachram in the Yeshiva, when Rav Elia Meir Bloch said this, he said this idea in 1948. The State of Israel is formed. There was euphoria throughout the world. And people came to him and they said, we're still dealing with the Holocaust. Not that many, 1948, it's a few years later. We're still burying the dead. People are still finding out that their relatives didn't make it. How can we have such a simcha, as great as a simcha is? We're still shorui b'tzar. We're still swimming in the tzar. So he said this idea. We have the ability to have both. We can at the same time still be in mourning over the terrible churban of the Holocaust and also be b'simcha at the State of Israel. This is amazing. The Rosh Yeshiva of Tells who's saying this. I think that goes very well here. They were in so much pain. They just dealt with the churban. We know what Tisha B'Av is like. They were living through it. And they had to turn around and to have a Pesach Seder with Haseba and Dal Kosas and Hallel and Simcha. Rabbi Akiva knew how. So they traveled. These Tanaim traveled to Rabbi Akiva to go have Seder with him. A beautiful insight through Golvik's Kiddush and the Aruch HaShulchan. Well, they weren't with their families. Wow. Rabbi Akiva must have had a big house. I don't know. Or they rented homes, maybe with pools. I'm not sure. Have they had caterers? I don't know. Good. A few more, if that's okay. In the Dalet Banim, so this is my own chiddush I wanted to suggest. The Rasha, and everyone asks what's the difference between the Rasha and the Chacham. They basically say the same thing. The Rasha says, "Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem, lachem velolo." Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. So I wanted to say, perhaps I'll derek drush the following. Lachem refers to our eating and drinking. We know the Gemara says that on Yom Tov, chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem. The Torah says, atzeres tia lachem, atzeres tia lachem. The Gemara says, it's a machlokes, whether it means half your day eating and drinking, half your day davening and learning, or you could pick kula lachem or kula lachem. Atzeres tia lachem. Lachem is eating and drinking. That's lachem. Lachem is eating and drinking. Lo, lachem velo lo. We say in Mizmor Lasoda, hu asanu, velo with a vav, velo anachnu, to Hashem, we are to Hashem. The Russia's problem was ma avoda hazos lachem. What's this avoda called lachem? Eating and drinking is service of Hashem? That's for your belly. That's for your pleasure. The Russia understood there's davening, there's learning. He couldn't come to terms that in Judaism, eating and drinking, the gashmis, the physical, can also be service of Hashem if done properly. So think about this. Shulchan Aruch is one of the simanim. We're eating. The eating also. It's a sudas hoda. It's our, we eat a lot in Judaism, but it's not just to fulfill our pleasures. It's also avodas Hashem. The Rasha says, I understand that you have davening, but ma havoda hazos lachem. What's this avoda called lachem? Lachem velolo. That's for you. That's not for Hashem. And that was the problem with the Rasha. The Rasha didn't understand. He thought there was two different aspects to Judaism. There's the learning, there's Torah mitzvos, and there's eating, and that's not Judaism. No, we tell the Rasha, that's a problem. Everything we do, all leisure, all pleasure, eating and drinking, is also considered to be Avodas Hashem. I've always been bothered by the simanim. Rabbi Yehuda haya nosem behem simanim. Tetzach adash v'achav. What do we... It's not so complex. The 10 makos, every 5-year-old learns the 10 makos. And all he did was take the first letter of each of the maka and make that mnemonic. What was Rabbi Yehuda doing? Why do we need Rabbi Yehuda for his... Rabbi Yehuda, I had no sin to him, Simon. I'm like, this big Kiddush. In previous years, and maybe I'll send out the previous year recordings, we offered up some different explanations. So I'd like to share two tonight. One, Pshat, and one, a fascinating, fascinating Gematria. In Pshat, the Rishonim point out that in Tehillim, in both Perek Ayin Ches and Perek Kuf Hei of Tehillim, the Makos are listed in a different order than they're listed in the Torah. So for example, you have Dam, Arov, Tzvardeya, Arbe, Bara, they're not in order. Why are they not in order? So the Rishonim say, but the Chassam Sofer explains, because to say the Makos in order can be dangerous. There's a sakana to say over the Makos in order. Why is that? I'm not sure. There's a sakana, says the Chassam Sofer, to say them in order. And that's why in Tehillim, the Makos are listed out of order. Pesach night, there's no sakana. Leil Shimurim, there's no danger. So Pesach night, we could say the Makos in order. So says Rabbi Yehuda, it comes along, don't think the order of the Makos are like they are in Tehillim, Perek Ayin Ches, Tehillim Kufhei, Pesach night, we could do the Makos in order, Tetzach Hadash V'achav, Dam Tzvardeya, Kinmarav in order. The Chassam Sofer actually says that in schools, he said, takes it for granted. This is why in schools, when they teach the kids the Makos, they teach them out of order because it's dangerous to teach them in order. Now, my kids have always learned the Makos in order. Things Things have, thank you. Things have changed. We teach the kids the Makos in order. But he said, the Hagaos Maimonis, who's a Rishon, says that's why Rabbi Yehuda gave Simanim, lest you think, I never saw this before, lest you think that the Makos should be as they're listed in Tehillim. That's in Pshat. Rav Zilberstein quotes the following story. The Bnei Yisachar, who was Rav Tzvi Elimelech Spiro, the great Hasidic master, 1783 to 1840, 1847, sent his grandson, who was the first Blujever Rebbe, the Tzvi Letzadik, who was the father of the well-known Blujever Rebbe who survived the Holocaust, right? Rafa Eliach's books, many of them are about the Blujever Rebbe. He lived 1889 to 1989, he lived 100 years. He's the fourth generation from the Bnei Yisachar, which is wild, Ben Acher Ben. The Bnei Yisachar was 1783 to 1841. His son was David, the Tzemach David, who passed away in 1874. His son was the Tzvi Letzadik, the first Blujever Rebbe. And his son was the Blujever Rebbe from Holocaust fame. So the Bnei Yisachar sent his grandson, the first Blujever Rebbe, to Rav Meir Arik, who was one of the biggest Talmidei Chacham in Europe, to get tested and get a smicha. So he was there for 2 weeks, a 2 week smicha. At the end, before he wrote his smicha, he said, your grandfather, the Bnei Yisachar, is famous for his gematrios. He's well known for his gematrios. Can you tell me one of his gematrios? So this young boy was 16 years old. Says, I'll tell you one on the Seder, on the Haggadah. Pesach is approaching. I'll tell you one. He says, my grandfather asked, question number one, is why does Rabbi Yehuda need the simanim? Like we asked. the Makos. Down Svardei Akinim, we know, Ditzach, Shkoyach. Why does he need the Simonim? And the second question is right before, and I was always bothered by this, right before we say the 10 Makos, we have the following line. Elu Eser Makos Shehevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaMitzrayim B'Mitzrayim. These are the 10 Makos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to the Egyptians in Egypt. Ve'elu Hein, and these are them. That Ve'elu Hein is repetitive. Ve'elu, these are the Eser Makos, the Hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, period. Ve'elu Hein, and these are, you just said that. Why do we have Ve'elu Hein twice? So he says as follows. The Pasuk that the Gemara darshins right before the Makos to explain the Makos is the following Pasuk. Vayotzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim, B'yad Chazakah, right, the Gemara says Ve'elu Shnayim. B'zro Nituya, Uvimora Gadol, Uva Osos, Uvimosim. Right, that's the Pasuk. And the Gemara says, Davracher, Yachazaka Shtaim, Zrona Tuya Shtaim, Oragado Shtaim, Moso Shtaim, Uvimosim Shtaim, those are the 10 Makos. Said this grandson, the 16-year-old boy, that my grandfather, the Bnei Yisachar, said that the Pasuk, Vayotzienu Hashem, Yitzrayim, Beyad Chazaka, Vizrona Tuya, Vimoragado, Uvosos, Uvimosim, that Pasuk is the same Gematria as Dam, Tzardaya, Kinim, Arab, Devrishkin, Arbim, Agab, Bar, Bechoros, the 10 Makos. Same exact gematria. So the Rav Meir Arik didn't believe it. He called his grandson and says, okay, do the calculation for me. I don't know if it was, there probably weren't calculators then. It was exactly the same gematria. The Yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim B'yad Chazakah was Yotzeinu Moses Mosim was Dam Tzvedei Akinim Arav Dever Shchin Barad Arba Choshek B'choros, the exact way it's written in the Torah, because some of them are missing a vav, with a vav, depending. The exact same gematria. Rav Meir Arik right away said the bracha, I don't think with Hashem's name, of Baruch Shechalak Chachmasa Lireyav, which is the bracha you say upon seeing a Talmud Chacham. He was blown away by this. And he said, what's the significance? He says, Bechoros. The gematria works with Bechoros, not Makas Bechoros, which is also an interesting question. Why we call it Makas Bechoros? We don't call it Makas Dam. We don't call it Makas Svardeya. We call it Svardeya, Kinim, Arov, Dever, Shechim. Why we call it Makas Bechoros? Bechoros. It's just Bechoros, not Makas Bechoros. And that's why he was saying the Elohim. These days, Eser Makos, Elohim. That same pasuk that you just quoted, Elo Eser Makos, Shehdi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Elohim. This is the same Makos that are the same Gematria as that pasuk. There's some people are very into the gematrias. You're not going to find a better gematria than that. An interesting idea. I want to close with. I'm going to close. A few more, if that's okay. You go 5 more minutes. Pesach Matzah Mor. Kol Shalom Shlosha Devar Melu Lo Yatzei Dechavasan. Pesach Matzah Maror. What should the order be?
Maror.
Maror. Pesach and Matzah. Matzah is the Geula. Maror is the Avos. Maror comes before the Matzah. Yet we say, and we say this in Manish Tana also, Maror before, sorry, Pesach Matzah and only Maror at the end. So what, why is that? It's on a simple pshat. So the Tzlach was the Nodeb Yehuda, his commentary in Pesachim. He says that we all know that the decree for us to be in Mitzrayim was how many years? 400 years. We were only there 210 years. Why? What happened? So the Tzlach explains, and others explain as well, that the intensity of the pain and the suffering, that was mashlim, that added on to the years. In 210 years, we had 400 years worth of suffering. So the Tzlach says that's the idea. The only way, or the reason for having the matzah for the geula, was because of all the maror we had. So you want to know how we got matzah early? It was because of the maror. So Pesach matzah, and then maror. That's what the Tzlach says. The Zeres Shimshon has, I think, an idea which we could, it's really more of a drusha idea, so I'll let everyone give this drusha at their Seder. He says that often, naturally, when a person is saved, when a person experiences a Yeshua, a salvation, they forget the pain. I think we do this as a mechanism to not think of the suffering, but also we're very quick to forget the pain when we're in. I mean, look now. We're trying to, all of COVID and everything that we suffered, we're gone. We move past it. I don't want to think about it again. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to think about all the Leviathans and the suffering and all the Shivas that didn't happen. We're out. We got the vaccine and we're out. That's the way most people are. But he says, as Zeres Shimshon, that's wrong for two reasons. Number one, we gain from the suffering. Anything that we go through is an experience to grow. If we only focus on the Hodah, on a salvation, we lose everything we gained during the suffering. We don't want to suffer anymore. But once we've suffered, there's a lot we can gain. That's one reason. The second reason is you appreciate the salvation so much more when we think about the suffering. If we just ignore the pain, then we don't sufficiently and adequately appreciate the salvation. So he says that even when there's Pesach and there's Matzah, we still should be thinking of the Mar. We don't need to have Mar at the Seder. Why are we even bringing up the Mar? We got past it. Talk about the Yeshua. He says, no, it's to remind us that even in our celebration, our Hakar Satov, our gratitude for the salvation, we still always want to keep in mind the suffering. So it's Pesach Matzah, and then keep some Maror around while we're celebrating the salvation. All right, I'll end with stealing the Afikoman. In the last few Haggadah highlights, I shared two amazing insights, which I'm going to share again, with the risk of people hearing it again. It's okay. And then Rav Goldberg had a new insight. I'll start with that. His insight is based on a halacha. So for those who like the halachic explanations, this is great. Leil HaSeder, so who's supposed to be the one to lead the Zimun, to bench? The Baal HaBayis. Now that's the Chiddush, because normally, who's supposed to bench? The guest. Well, it's a question if you have a Kohen and a guest who goes, but normally, let's leave out Kohanim, we give it to the guest, the Oreach Mevarech. On Seder night, the Baal HaBayis is the one to bench. Why lead the Zimun? Why is that? He has the Tov Ayin. Tov Ayin Hu Yivarech. He has this, he's invited everyone in. So he has that good eye. He has that Tov Ayin, that generosity. He invited everyone. So he's the one to lead the benching. Rav Goldberg says, there's another halacha. Interestingly, let's say you say, let's bench. Maybe you sing Shir Hamalos, and you realize you didn't need Afikomen. So what's the halacha? Normally, people don't know this. If you're in the middle of your meal and you say, let's bench, and you wash my machronim, or you give out the benchers, you sing Shalom Aleichem, you sing Shir HaMalas, if you want to eat now, you have to make a new bracha. Even though you didn't bench yet. This is halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara. When you say, Havlan v'Navrich, give us a cup so we can bench, you were already out of Hesach Hadas. Your bracha is no longer, you could eat. If you want to take another piece of cake, that's what happens all the time, another jelly bean, maybe another piece of fruit, if you're in the post-Pesach diet, you have to make a new bracha once you say, I'm going to bench. Let's say you're at the Seder, you start Shir HaMalos, you go wash my machronim, you clear the table, you pass out the bench, you're like, oh, you forgot Afikoman. So the lach is, you do not need to make a new bracha on Afikoman. Pesach night is different. Why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, there's no Hesach Hadas on Pesach night because Atocha derachmana samchinan. We're at Hashem's table. When you're at someone else, Hashem's always bringing more. We're at a Kosh Baruch Hu. We're guests at a Kosh Baruch Hu's table at the Seder, halachically speaking. And therefore, even though you said, let's bench, you don't have to say a new bracha. You could eat the Afikoman without a new bracha. So says Rav Goldberg, to kind of show everyone that the Baal HaBayis is not really the Baal HaBayis, to show everyone that's at Kosh Baruch Hu's table, we steal from him. Take away his Afikoman to let him know that you're not in charge. That's Rav Goldberg's halachic insight into stealing the Afikoman. I want to end with two amazing insights, and I suggest you sharing this with children or grandchildren at the Seder night. I've shared this in previous years. It's amazing. Rabbi Yechiel Spiro, who was here back in September, has two Haggadahs touched by a Seder. And he says the following. As we said earlier from Rav Goldwicht, from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that Seder night was the night that Yaakov Avinu got the bracha from Yitzchak. The Seder night. The Pasuk says, Ba Achicha B'mirma. Your brother came b'mirma in trickery. He grabbed, inappropriately so to speak. They were told Esav, your brother came and he stole it. It's the other time we have sanctioned stealing. Right? Some are very against stealing Afikoman. We're teaching kids to steal. Sanctioned stealing in the Torah was when Yaakov stole the brachos from Esav. Ba achicha b'mirma. B'mirma is the same exact gematria, says Rabbi Spiro, as Afikoman. So now we're telling our kids, this is a night where you could steal the brachos. Shoot for the stars. Ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for everything. You think you can't accomplish this in your life. You can't reach that level in your Avodas Hashem. You can't do this. Pesach night is a night where you can, so to speak, steal brachos. So to remind ourselves that, to inspire the children to shoot for the stars, to steal, not really steal, but to grab onto those brachos with Kodesh Baruch Hu, we teach them that. Grab the Afikoman, steal the Afikoman to get those brachas. A very beautiful and powerful message. Rav Schwab has an unbelievable Haggadah, named based on Shueva on the Seder, and he says that his father, every year at the Seder, said the following idea. He says, all Menhagim have a reason. Everything that we do, there's a reason. So what's the reason for stealing the Afikoman and giving out gifts at the end? He says something unbelievable. He says that we break the matzah. We keep the smaller half on the table, and we hide the larger half for later, for the Afikoman. The smaller matzah represents this world, Olam Hazeh. It's there together with the maror and the charoses. The maror is the bitterness. The charoses is the sweet, the enjoyable. This world, Olam Hazeh, is filled with maror and charoses. No one has a life of all maror, hopefully, and no one has a life of all charoses. There's ups and downs, there's trials and tribulations, there's struggles, there's successes, there's victories, there's pain. This world, the smaller matzah, is there. We see it. It's on the table with the maror and the charoses. The bigger matzah is Olam Haba, the world to come. It's hidden. We hide it. We don't see Olam Haba today. It's a promise, it's going to come. It's big. The Olam Haba, the Afikoman, sorry, is Ne'achelas al Hasova. One has to be full when they eat the Afikoman. We only get the Afikoman, the big piece. The Olam Haba, if we're full. We're full of Torah and Mitzvos. So we tell these children, when you go get the Afikomen and you return it, now different people have different customs, who hides it, who finds it. When you go back, or Schwab's father said, and you return the Afikomen, we tell the kid, the bigger piece, the Olam Haba, you're going to get, and it's going to be good, but you're going to have to work for it. So I'm going to give you a present. That's the whole idea of the present. The present they're going to get, the ultimate present, is Olam Haba. You're going to get that after you get hard work. The bigger matzah we hide, the kids run around, they find it, you work hard to go ahead and get it, and you get a big gift when you get it, because that's what's going to be at the end of the days with Olam Haba, a beautiful insider of Schwab on the Afikomen. Hopefully, the Yontif this year will be the Yontif of Bracha. It was the Bracha that Yaakov Avinu got from Yitzchak on this night that has ramifications for us, for our children. Our home should be the Beis HaMikdash, whether we whitewash our homes or not. I know a good company, they're giving me a cut. I'll give you the number afterwards. We wear a kittel, Kohen Gadol, whether you're going to sing Shalom Aleichem or not. Our homes become the Beis HaMikdash on Seder night, and hopefully the Kiddushah, the Beis HaMikdash, the Tahara, the purity, and the Bracha should all shower onto us and our families, and everyone should have the Chag Kasher V'Sameach.